We will call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, September 6th, 2023, to order at 8:47. We will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I don't know if it'd be nice. The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation: Jurgens, Haxby, Schuler, Teeman, Dorn, Swavely, and Lidle. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held August 23rd, 2023. Approve all claims through September 6th, 2023, in the amount of $530,496.90. Accept claim number 2309-0119 to Hard Rock Quarries LLC in the amount of $6,081.05. And claim number 2309-0121 to Johnny's Welding, Inc. in the amount of $396.99 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve utility permit number 1283 to Next Link. Next Link will be installing new fiber lines per the submitted DSA number 6, DWIT. All new fiber line will be installed in county right-of-way per Next Link plans. Next Link will be installing fiber lines for DSA number 6 from Highway 41 to Sergeant Road. Between Southwest 58th Road to Southwest 142nd Road, DSA number 6 plans for details and locations will be available in the Highway Department office. Located in Claytonia, Grant, and Blakely Townships. Approve utility permit number 1284 to Doomsday Data. Doomsday Data will be installing new communication conduit from existing UPN pullbox in the south ditch of Lilac Road to the tower. Once work is complete in Gage County right-of-way, all other work will be done on private property located in the located north of Section 14, Riverside Township. Approve district court summary fee report and register of deeds fee report for the month of August 2023. I'd ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Swavely, second by Dorn. Any items for discussion? If not, please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Regular agenda: approve or disapprove claim number 2309-0119 to Hard Rock Quarries LLC in the amount of $6,081.05. This is one of my companies.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Swavely. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor with Teeman abstaining. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove claim number 2309-0121 to Johnny's Welding, Inc. in the amount of $396.99. This would bring the total amount of claims paid through September 6, 2023 to $536,974.94.
So moved.
Moved by Schuler.
Second.
Second by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor with Jurgens abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Mr. Petrowski. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Don Petrowski, president of the Gage County Foundation. Just want to take this time to say thank you to Mr. Teeman and to the rest of the board for the support given to the foundation for the proclamation of the Big Give, which is going to be held next Thursday, September 14th. To give you a little breakdown on it, the Big Give, this is in our fifth year of existence with the Big Give, and this is where we have the one-day giving event throughout the area. Being this the fifth year, we've grown. We currently have 72 nonprofits that have signed up for this Big Give event, and we have numerous sponsors that help with the organization of this, and the sponsor money we use in turn is divvied out percentage-wise back to the nonprofits. Proud to say that the foundation over the past number of years has budgeted for this project, and all monies collected during the 14th will be given back to the nonprofits at their full value of what that donation is. We do not have any administrative fees that we charge on this. Our foundation picks up all of the fees, so everything that is donated goes directly back to the nonprofits. And I am so proud of this county, so proud that over the last 4 years, this county has managed to raise over $1 million. And that speaks well for all the residents. And we receive monies from not only our county, but adjacent counties, different states. Even a few years back, we had a donation from Canada. So we reach out, and I consider the money that's coming in outside of our area is just a lot of work from the nonprofits contacting people out there to give on this particular day. But I want to thank you for the support that the county has given us with that proclamation. And I apologize, we had a mix up in the dates that we were going to do this. But I did want to take time to come out and say thank you for that support. And we look forward to another good event again next Thursday, September 14th. And let's have another big give and give where you live. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And I'm sure there'd be discussion back and forth with Mr. Vitrowski, the way we're set up at public comment. Of course, we can't discuss back and forth. Mr. Otto, if you had something you wanted to bring up for future agenda items, this would be the time as well. And I didn't tell Mr. Vitrowski, but please give your name and address for the record.
Dean Otto, 633 State Highway 43, Adams, Nebraska. Part of it is about the meeting that Planning and Zoning had last week or 2 weeks ago. I had to leave early. The conduct got way out of hand. I was wondering if there's any way someone could help them. We don't need name calling, I guess. That's not going to help them. It's not going to help us. I've been in that spot before a month ago, and I do apologize for that with Bob Wallman. The other thing is we go down to the road conditions down there, the trees where the new CAFO is proposed to go. The trees are over the road. They haven't been graded, so the road seems narrower than it actually is. I've seen some of the stuff that's been internet evidence. One of them is a school bus letter and a township letter that road is not fit for semis, at least one more semi day. The other day I was down there for an hour and a half moving some dirt, and there was three semis went through there at that time. It was in the middle of the afternoon. If this road's so bad, why are we letting other semis go down the road? And my question is, now that the schools said that road is not safe for a school bus and the township says it's not safe for semis, who is actually liable for all of this? And I think that's something we're all going to have to live with if nothing gets done with this, because there could be an accident someday, and it does not have to be a livestock semi. It could be a grain semi. Could be an ambulance trying to get through there in a hurry. It's pretty narrow. The west road's fairly bad. The north road is unbelievable. You can't hardly get one pickup down it. The road's wide enough, but it's overgrown with trees. I forgot my state statutes at home when I was checking the grain dryer switch pickups, but there is statutes on how far the landowners are supposed to keep the trees back, mowed up. The ditches are actually supposed to be twice a year if you read the state statute. I'll be honest with you, we don't get over all of our ditches twice a year. We try to get over them all once. And fighting the trees, that's an every year deal. Not every one of our roads are positive either, but we do keep them cut back as much as possible. So I guess we can't talk about it, but I'd like to know who's liable. And if that's something that should start today, the school bus could have a wreck this afternoon with a car going down that road. And then who's liable, honestly. It's probably whoever has the best attorney is the one that gets away with it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Otto. And items like that, Mr. Petrosky's is not a future agenda item. This potentially could be, and it has been a past agenda item. I would steer you towards Right now, to see what we are doing, I'd steer you towards Mr. Kunkey, but that is in process. Anyone else like to speak at public comment for future agenda items or things not on the agenda? Tell us what you think of us. Should be cautious saying that, I guess. All right. If not, we will go into committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights. Mr. Schwaefer.
We got a report from King Little. Dave will come up and we have this. He'll put it on, keep it on file then, but it's all the measurements and all the things that he's done and recommendations. But that's kind of a moot subject right now, but he'll talk about the rest of the things. Excitement this afternoon, right?
Yeah, I'll start out with that.
Good morning, Mr. Jones.
Good morning. I had a gal from Exmart reach out to me and asked if they could bring an autonomous lawnmower here this afternoon and just mow a probably the southeast side to show their newest style of lawnmower that is GPS. And so the way I understand it, they just drive around the perimeter and then they let the lawnmower do the rest of the work. And so that'll be exciting to see. And I can't help but think of our early people that were, when this courthouse was up, to think that someday it'd be mowed by a robot.
So if they needed another yard.
Yeah. And out at the extension office, they had a glass enclosure that was kind of cumbersome to get in and out of, so at the entrance. And so we removed that, and we're going to just put down a 9-foot strip of vinyl in front of that for easier access coming in. And I did, I'm getting a quote for a automatic door opener, handicap door opener on that one. And Greg Dennis from Masonry Construction, he will be down here towards the end of this week. He is just checking with the schedule, and he does have hopefully a couple months, if we have a good fall this year, to start working on the clock tower. This would be the repointing and repairing of stones up high on the clock tower. We're going to leave the south entrance open, and they'll just have scaffolding for overhead protection there. And as they do that, I talked to Holiday Lights Committee, and when it's in their bid to take down the winter lights and reinstall them. And so we're going to just have new winter light strands on hand. And so when they put them up, they'll be putting up the new ones. So between now and next spring, when they finish it up, at least we'll have all of that area with new lights on it. And that's about all I had. Other, we're going to start reseeding. Some of the areas really took a beating from this hot, dry year and last year also. Over at our parking lot area, I know puncture vine is really taking over there, so we're going to try and get some grass growing in there yet this fall. So that's what I had.
On the south side, I was wandering around the lawn like I know you love when I do. Looked like there's some nimble wilt and creeping charlie and stuff kind of getting in under those.
Yes, I hope as it cools down a little bit and we can address that and see start to get a good kill on that.
Maybe this fall kind of burn that stuff out of there again.
Yeah. It's been a tough year, I know, and it just seems like the weeds always do a lot better than the grass does.
Thanks, Thank Dave. You. Equalization, we went through things. Those prices have changed from July to September now. We are in compliance. Things are the way they're supposed to be per state statute, but as Patty stated, with sales moving around, rural, Beatrice, Cortland, all these villages and cities, the sales are still going up faster than what she's catching them on valuations. Becomes increasingly important for each taxing body to be responsible with our tax asking. As valuations go up and you can take more money, it doesn't mean you should. So as we talk about budgets later on, as of now, our budget and our tax asking is still going down again this year. We just need to encourage other municipalities to also keep their tax asking down. Just because the valuation goes up doesn't mean the tax asking goes up. So that's the spot we're at right now. But valuations going up always scare people. Finance and insurance, Mr. Juergens.
Large ticket items, Applied Connective Technologies, IT Equipment and Consulting, $16,251. Windstream General Phones, $18,666.35. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $33,033.72.
Finance and insurance, there is a Turk case that was filed for this year, so that'll be going in, but that's fewer than years past, surprisingly. So, insurance has taken effect, the changes we made. Mr. Lytle.
When you get done.
I don't think anything real interesting on insurance. Our rates went up very minutely. We're going to try to offset those with some different programs we're doing. Done the same thing with like Teladoc and stuff since we're self-insured. Anything we can do to actually save money with our own program actually saves us money in the end instead of just paying a flat fee. So everything's moving ahead at a fairly flat rate insurance-wise, health insurance-wise. NIRMA, we're members with NIRMA. For our liability insurance, they saw incredibly large increases again with the reinsurance. But looking at where NIRMA came in compared to private insurers with other counties or other bid counties, it was ridiculously lower. I mean, all of us would sign all our personal stuff up right away if we could get into that pool. So that's been a good long-term plan for Gage County and 89 other counties, and I think that will continue to be a really good. Okay, so along with that, as we've been working through the budget, Don did a fantastic job preparing that again. Last year's actual tax asking was $11.77 million. You don't need the other numbers, you know, we'll get the big ones. But $11.77 million was our actual tax asking last year. Currently, right now, we're looking at asking for $11.05, so somewhere around $750,000 reduction in tax asking this year. That would be a decrease in overall asking of 6.089%. So not just lowering our mill levy because valuations have gone up, but we're right now looking at lowering our overall tax asking by 6.089%. Last year, if I remember right, our tax decrease from the year before was 6.67%. So 2 years in a row, we'll have a reduction. I think we can say that we're having that reduction and we're increasing services still. Mr. Kunke, I think, would agree with me. Places like our roads department, although we've trimmed a lot of soft areas, we're getting more production, and we're getting more with less. And we ask all our offices to do that. I can honestly say, walking around this building and other places, we don't have a lot of fat hanging everywhere. I think we're very thrifty in our wages. We're good in benefits, but we don't have a lot of extra. And we're going to continue to try to operate that way until the board changes its mind, but we'll try to run as lean and efficient as possible. I think we're doing that. So as we talk about budget more, if you guys have any questions on any specific departments, I think every single office is doing their part to try to run efficiently and eliminate whatever we can just for the betterment of all of us while still providing all the services we need to. That was longer than I thought I was going to go. Sorry, Gary.
All right. This is loosely tied to finance, but Mr. Vachowski, could you come back up to the microphone, please? Don, appreciate you coming today. And,
yeah.
You know, when we're thinking about the big give and the you know, would you mind expanding a little bit about Big Give, and like if you got a nonprofit, how can you participate with the Big Give? And then come September 14th, you know, Citizen A here wants to donate. How do I go about that? Would you mind expanding a little bit on that?
Oh, okay, very good. Thanks, Gary. We to become a participant in the Big Give is that you have to have a 501(c), you have to be a nonprofit, and you can contact this year. We have basically two co-chairs that have done an excellent job. We have Shelby Watson from the Beatrice Hospital Foundation, who we kind of co-work with over the last 5 years, is one individual, and then my wife Verdella is also part of the committee that's done a bang-up job to do this. You can contact Verdella, but this year we are no longer taking nonprofits. So if you're thinking about it for next year in 2024, please do so. But as we gather in the money on that day of the 14th, you can go to biggivegage.org, and that is our website. And on that website, you'll have can go in to the nonprofits, and they'll walk you through on giving your pledges, and they'll take your credit cards, and you can go down as you list. We have all 72 listed, and as you go down the list, and if you want to do say $10 to each organization, at the end you'll have a showing a bill of $720. That's if you would do that, or you can go through and say I want to give to this organization, to this one. You can pick and choose. So it's up to the individuals that want to do this. And with us being on the website, that's where we can get outside of Gage County and Nebraska and throughout the World Wide Web. So the possibilities are endless. But it has been very good with the promotions that we have had and the hard work over the years. The last 4 years, the individual that was spearheading this on behalf of the Hospital Foundation is Gina Heckey, but she took a job out of state and left us, and then Shelby Watson came in for her replacement at a time that was just, we were just starting to give the Big Give get started, and Shelby done an excellent job, but we thought that Shelby needed some assistance to tackle this, and that's when Verdella stepped up to the plate and says, well, I can help with that. And between the two of them, they've really done a bang-up job, and we as a board can't be more pleased on how this is coming about. But the big thing, like I said earlier, over $1 million raised, and that is just outstanding. And again, on the 14th at the Vintage Venue, we will be setting up shop there, that if anybody wants to come in and drop off a check, we can take the check there. I think throughout the county, there's other locations. I think in Adams will have one, Odell will have one, Wymore Blue Springs area will have one. So just if you have questions, you can give me a call, 402-806-0441, or give Verdella a call at 806-0037. So that's the way to keep informed. And we're trying to do our best to keep our word out there, and I think we're doing it. What's fun, what's enjoyable about this, we don't have to re-educate everybody. Everybody pretty well knows what the Big Give is. And as you drive throughout the community and out the county, you'll see a lot of yard signs out which are supporting it. So I expect some good things. We got, like I said, we got more nonprofits than we ever had before, so I think that'll help draw in some money. And so, you know, I've stated it before, if we could raise $400,000, that would be just outstanding. And we've come close. Last year it was a little over 300 and some thousand. So, you know, keep your fingers crossed, promote it, and we all gain from it. We've learned that these agencies, this is basically their only fund drive for the year. And they do a great job of with their programs, and where we would be in this area without these agencies supporting us, they just provide a valuable product to our community. And again, thanks to the board for helping us support that.
Thanks for the extra info, Don.
Yep. Yes,
what's
son.
The web link again? What's the app?
Okay, it's biggivegage.org. And they'll have a listing of all the 72 nonprofits. They all have their own projects that they're working on, so you can look and see what their projects are about. And utilize one that you get the Wymore Blue Springs area, and you know they've got the one property at a time. And so, you know, all of these agencies are really doing some bang-up work in their respective communities, and it's great to see that support.
Don, you
yes.
can also give online prior to the 14th.
Yes, yes, I think starting today you could go online and do that pre-giving, but it won't be posted until the 14th. So when you get on there, it's going to be fun because it clocks it. As the donations come in, you can see the money go up, and it is exciting. And it come down to the vintage venue. During the day from, I think, 11 o'clock to 1, a few of the agencies will be here, will be down there, and they'll have a kind of like a nonprofit craft show that you can come in and visit, and the nonprofits can explain what their projects are. Again, Verdella and Shelby have done an excellent job organizing this. And it's fun to watch this project grow.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Appreciate you sharing
you.
That with us. Thank you for your time yep. on this. Anything else for finance and insurance?
Only that the $18,000 for Windstream is kind of a catch-up because we've been in arguments with Windstream over bills, and they finally have appeased Dawn, and so she agreed to pay him. Okay, so.
Have they finally run the fiber to the highway department that they promised us?
I haven't got into that yet. So.
There's still hiccups. Human resources, employee relations.
They're going through quick.
All is semi-well. Law enforcement, emergency management, Mr. Lytle.
Yes. $750,000. I'm impressed. I'm sure you. That was all you, right?
I'm sure it was. It's always me.
Gus was on the increase side, but...
Yeah, well, I handed out early before the meeting started, kind of last 2 weeks, kind of an update where we're at on some things. A couple of points I want to bring up. The number on the donations monetarily for the horses, we're a little over $20,000 now. I took some checks up again Sunday, and I have some more waiting to go back up as well. Spoke U.S. Humane Society. They gave us $2,500. They're paying the cropsy bill at UNL for the two we posted. And what few hundred dollars I have left on that will probably go towards veterinary bills. And then Sergeant Hanson's working on some grants that we heard about. They're going to see if we can't get a few more dollars back in to kind of cover some of my cost. The outpouring of support has just really been amazing. I know more about horses now than I ever have, and I have my own. But they're more pasture pets than anything. But we haven't lost anything. They're all doing well. So kudos to all those people. When I go up there, there's a lot of people running around like a beehive helping out and taking care of them. We're down about 3 or 4 deputies. We have one in the academy, one open spot yet, and 2 deployed. Should be getting one back here, I think, in another week or two. That's really kind of hitting pretty hard on that end of it. But we're making it work and doing what we have to do. So kind of busy 2 weeks. You got anything?
Good.
And I misspoke. Gus did go down a little bit. We had a couple cars in his budget last year. He kept his budget very flat, and that reflected then. Only change was wages primarily.
Which is a good point because I just took one up. This week. They're starting to work on them now. Be about a week, 10 days per car, and then we should be back out. But he said from the time you get one ordered and tell me about it, it's about a year to get them through. That's how far back they are on everything. But at least we're moving forward, so that's a good thing.
Is that something to look at this year again or look at next year? I mean, we've been pretty aggressive with cars in the last
few years. Next year we'll have to sit down and take a look and see what I got for miles on some of them, I suppose. and how we're going to rearrange and who gets what. But, yeah, it's going the right direction now anyway. So I know everybody's getting frustrated. They couldn't get them through there, but they're so busy. And like everybody else, they're short about three technicians. But you can put a week per car, that's moving right along. So we're excited about that. Maybe someday I'll give you a ride.
I'm fine. I can walk.
Gus.
Yes, sir.
If you're short of help, just make sure you stay strong in the northern end of the county.
Yeah. Really?
Ditto.
Yeah. Well, most of our calls for service are south.
We'll take a brief break from committee meetings. We have a timed event at 9:15, a public hearing. I'd ask for a motion to go into public hearing at 9:17 to hear support or opposition for the appointment of Nate Claybaugh, Grant Jones, and Dave Naughton to a six-year term on the Board of Trustees of the Hospital Authority Number 1.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Swavely. Please vote. 7 in favor. We're in public hearing. I don't know if we have a sign-up sheet or not, but if anyone would like to come up and speak in support or opposition to these three people, Nate Claybaugh, Grant Jones, Dave Norton, we have hand-delivered petition for each of them. I don't know if it's petition or not, but
we have to check this out.
Make sure whatever they're required to have for signatures for the Board of Trustees for the Hospital Authority.
I believe it's a reappointment for all three.
And this term would be from October 1st, 23 to September 30th, 29. Okay. Would anyone like to come up and visit or talk about any of these folks?
Can I see the paper?
No. Yes, you may. We do appreciate you all coming in. Dear, regardless of why, I guess I welcome all of you to the board meeting. Thank you for coming. No one would like to speak at public hearing. I'd ask for a motion to come out of public hearing at 9:19.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Swavely to come out of public hearing at 9:19. Please vote. 7 in favor. We'll go back to law enforcement and emergency management. Mr. Lytle.
You see, you got anything you want to add?
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
This is just kind of a briefing on the emergency management side of things. This morning, beautiful morning, but also with it, those northerly breezes bring that smoke in from the Canada fires. So we have had quite a few calls into the office just wondering, you know, what's going on, and media is doing a great job with, you know, getting that message out. But we take our breathing for granted many times when you know people that struggle with COPD and asthmas and so forth. So it's going to be a long few weeks, I believe, you know, for those instances. Moving forward, though, for fire training, there's some really good training coming up this next week, pipeline training coming up, and also 3 and 33 Fire District, with the help of Mark Mines at SCC, is putting together a wildfire training. You know, we know that it's going to be dry and so forth, so going into the harvest months. And so that's an all-day training next Saturday at SCC. So the other thing is harvest awareness. You know, we have seen those combines starting in, so just want to push out that message of, you know, the roads could be hazardous with the equipment on it. So the 911, as far as most of you know, probably on Thursday evening, 911 throughout Nebraska was affected in different places. That ended up being a cut fiber in Omaha. Some large metropolitan areas were out, but also we here in Gage County at Southeast Communications was very fortunate. They actually had the Motorola people on staff or at the dispatch center, in addition to the Lumen software company, which is what they're all going over to the new software company throughout Nebraska. They were on hand at the time that outage was, for in fear that they had done something, but then in fact later in that evening, as other counties had started to experience that, That was, you know, fiber, a cut fiber in Omaha. Then on Saturday, another outage was caused in various areas. Gage County was not affected by that, and that ended up being a fire in the Windstream pedestals up in the Lincoln area. So there's always going to be challenges, I think, but Southeast, Carla would share with you, always redundancy within anything, you know, with 911 calls being forwarded on to other counties. So on the zoning side, we welcome on the 26th of September, we have a public hearing that is planned, and that is for the, I gave you guys a copy on your desks of that. That's for a commercial agriculture business up in the, that would be Holt Township, Section 3, along the Highway 77. So that'll be four generations. Ag is what that will be. And so we'll have that public hearing again on the 26th. Backing up a little bit, just a follow-up on the on our hearing that we held for the CAFO for the Liberty area. Our commission tabled that. Obviously, most of you know there were two resolutions that were presented to the commission during the hearing process. One was a resolution offered by the Village of Liberty, and the other one was from the Island Grove Township and concerns for the roads as they are. We also received documentation from the Lewiston bus drivers, too. So Chairman Argo and the commission felt it best to research further. They weren't ready to make that decision that night to make a recommendation with the hopes, as the commission had asked for the township, to meet with the applicants. And so moving forward, we'll be reviewing with Roger, and I know Mark has gone out, which he can speak to the condition of the road and so forth as we move forward. This process isn't meant to hold anybody up, but the commission does due diligence in trying to do their research, and they were not ready to make those decisions and make that recommendation. So the hopes are to have it back on the agenda again on the 26th.
I just note in regard to that, we're going to try to facilitate a meeting between the schools, the township board, and Mr. Cookie's with his expertise, and I know Mr. Minnelli's, to see what the issue is, if there is an issue on the road. Because, I mean, those were concerns that were brought to the public's awareness, and I think it's very important that we address those. That was a good point. Yeah, but, I know Mr. Argo indicated that as well. So now it's a matter of putting all those parties together as quickly as we can. But hopefully with the letters and the concerns they expressed in writing, we can get a meeting together.
So our goal would be, my goal is to have it done before the 26th so it can go back on to, the agenda for points of conversation. So that's a goal. We'll see how that works. So
special hearing or public hearing on the 26th for that seed barn. We've talked about this mm-hmm. a little bit, mm-hmm. Or that seed sales facility. I don't anticipate any opposition to that, just being up on the road, up on the highway. Been wrong many times before. Is it safe to advertise a public hearing for us for the 4th? Do you anticipate you could have a recommendation for us so that we would have something on our agenda the 4th of October? Or I guess if we advertise and they don't have a recommendation, do we just cancel the public hearing?
Just continue it.
The only reason I'm wondering is just for speed of permitting. I don't know if that will make them any difference, but they had tried to expedite this and then they didn't take out a permit. They aren't used to the permitting process. This one, I don't see anyone getting upset about a seed sale. Have you heard anything up in that area?
I haven't, but is that do we typically set a hearing before we get their recommendation?
We have before where we staggered to on the last one. Just recently we did.
Well, that was a redo. That wasn't a typical situation either.
None of them are typical if you're spending money doing construction right now. Every week you wait.
As with anything, when we think something is not an issue, it could very well be an issue. So allowing yourself some time, you know, to really, you know, gather the thoughts, and then you wait 2 weeks later, you know, for those before you act on resolution. But again, it's your board, but there is always, we never know. So.
Well, I mean, we have waited. I guess it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt to wait. It just, it's a good lesson for everyone as they're putting things in. Act early, get permits early, think ahead.
Okay.
Anything else for Lisa?
Thanks.
Anything else, Mr. Lytle?
I do not believe so.
Mr. Juergens, Road and Bridge, Ms. Haxby.
We had our Road and Bridge Committee report or committee meeting, and that was Dave Swavely, me, and Don Hill. So it was a lot of chit chat on that. We had utility permits that we passed today from NextLink and Doomsday Data. We got the report from Mark. They hauled things, filled things, fixed things, cut things, and graded things. They've been working on Spruce Road from Highway 112 to Southwest 61st, and they've been rebuilding that road, and then they rock it as they go to try to keep it open as much as possible. They just finished North 10 Logan bridge removal and replaced with culverts, and so we were able to see the cost breakdown within the GIS program that they have now, so we can see total cost between materials, labor, equipment hours, and things like that. We have a resolution here later on our agenda about a stop sign that was our engineer looked at and recommended. We have started on the spring of 2023 gravel allotments. 2 weeks ago, I attended the transportation summit out in Kearney. We learned about a lot more grant opportunities that we'll try to work on. And we've basically the thing that we're missing that we need to start working on gathering more is data. So putting numbers with our reasons so that we can show the need here. So that's something that we're going to work on for the future grants. Talked about the Island Grove maintenance, and then I had received some pins, drop pins for some overgrown trees, and Mark's going to work on sending those out.
Do you want to get into Congressman Smith's grant at all?
We're still kind of waiting on that one. So I had applied for that one as a earmark appropriations, and we applied for the Odell and the Christ Lutheran as a mill overlay down there. To get that done. I applied it for it as an 80-20, and then when the reports came out from committee, it showed that it was 100% funded. Now it's not done yet. It still has a couple more steps, but that's looking really good for a potential project to get done. And then for our fiber project, I think they'll be finishing up the Adams construction soon. They have been blowing in fiber the last couple weeks, and they started splicing a week and a half ago.
And for people to sign up for that, do you remember the website for them to look at?
fiber.nextlinkinternet.com. If you're within the project area, you type in your address, you pull a pin to your location, you can choose a service, and then that gives them a contact point. So when you're able to be hooked up, they would have a phone number to call to get your house hooked up.
fiber.nextlinkinternet.com.
Yep.
So if you're in the vicinity, they will contact you for a drop or to hook up.
So what they'll do is they'll splice and get the drops all spliced for a certain like area out. So it would be like 15 or 25 at a time. And once those slices are fused and hooked up, then those addresses will get sent to sales, And if sales has your information from filling that out online, they can contact you right away. And
I would encourage people even outside of the project to do that, because specifically some of you folks are from Liberty. That area is not in this project specifically, but that area keeps growing. So there may be fiber sooner than later in some of those areas also. So it's potentially a good benefit, lower prices, faster speeds than what we've had available in the past.
And there is a project pending for a grant south of Wymore that's all rural. It's a pretty big application out there. And then they are reopening. The Public Service Commission is reopening the capital projects grant because they did not expend all the funds. And so we'll be trying to pick up the other, I think, two villages that we did not get. So we'll be working on that.
So you'll start seeing Mr. Dorn.
So are they going to hook everybody up in stage one and two before they start stage three?
No, it's all a different process, so it's all working continually. So they still have your construction crews going, and then they have the crews that are blowing in the fiber, and they have crews that are slicing the fiber.
But I've never seen no markings locating of anything in stage three yet.
Three is in Cortland.
Three is my area.
I think yours was Adams.
No, I'm
you're down in the bottom corner.
Stage two stopped halfway between Hackberry and Hickory Road.
Oh, okay. We haven't got to permitting that one yet. I believe that's the one that Mark has currently. But when we had spoke with the lawyers, we kind of want to keep three permits open at a time. And so once they button up Adams... will be.
They thought by the end of this week.
I think that between these next two meetings, so hopefully we'll be seeing. It's called the Virginia DSA. So that would be the next one approved. That's the one we have plans for already.
Are they planning to just keep plowing after they're done with the initial project? Have you heard? I mean, that was some of the discussion originally. Is even after they get done with this project, they're just going to keep running plows and. That's the way it sounds now. So there's.
I spoke with Mr. Dishman yesterday, and it sounds like they're just going to keep going.
So this $13 million, this $11 million project that went to $13 million, I mean, it just keeps going and going. I still compare this to the old phone lines when they used to string lines out to a single house, you know, years ago. It would never feasibly pay out. Now that we've got the footprint here, it gives them the ability to increase that infrastructure to our other smaller areas. There's a lot of potential for Gage County, whether it's businesses out in rural areas or homes. I mean, regardless, people working from home.
Just a reminder, too, they also are successful. We've got Pickerel, Philly, Barnston and Adams were already all selected in the capital projects grant, so those are all going to get built out too. So the more places that we can keep spreading those points gives us a way to keep branching out and getting farther with our fiber.
So we'll start seeing some of those billings come through eventually. It's kind of a pay as you connect. Right now we've only expelled some of that ARPA money to some of the basically the lawyers. That help put stuff together, but those bills will start going out eventually, but very small amounts considering the impact. I mean, this money in business, people leverage money all the time. Usually in the public, we don't, but we're basically leveraging a $4 million, $4 million grant into a $12 to $15 million project. So it was a great way to leverage money that we didn't have to collect locally federal funds that we could leverage into local investment. Anything else for road and bridge? Mr. Schuler.
Mark, have we been able to get any gravel on 80th Road?
Yes, it'll be done today.
Good. Good news.
I got more good news if you want to hear. I've been working with Murphy Machinery, trying to get a training program set up. They have been in contact with LTAP. I
just got word this morning that we're trying to do a sit down and try to make this happen. So hopefully sooner than later something will happen, some training, townships, employees, possibly other counties too coming in together for something like this.
They said they were going to provide the equipment and everything, so.
Yep. So other thing, I will have another resolution for the next board meeting. This was from NDOT. They put out something last year, a big grant for stop signs and stop aheads and reflectors. We put in for 360 some odd new stop signs, stop aheads, and reflectors posts. They provided every piece of equipment or product for putting these new posts in. It took them a little while to get the get everything approved for the grant with all the counties that put in for it. So that got approved. I will have that paperwork sent up to Don here in the next couple days. But they will drop ship that all product to our office, and then our guys will put them out. So at no cost to us except for labor.
Will you just use your sign techs on that?
Yes, just sign techs.
I'd encourage you to keep putting in for that NERMA safety grant.
Yep, that's something that's going to come in this year. This year, I would like to talk to, with the sheriff about possibly redoing those front gates, maybe putting some nicer safety gates, automated safety gates, for ourselves and the deputies. So that'd be something to maybe team up on. Other than that, that's what I got.
So Murphy's assisting with the cost of the training?
Yes.
The training will be free completely for the counties, the townships, any blade operator we can get there, the way I understand it.
Yes.
Where are we at with the dust control policy?
Haven't worked on much of it.
We've been passing back and forth some information with NERMA. Quite frankly, I'd anticipate probably in the next couple of weeks get you a memo, but it's, as you can imagine, common sense tells you the county has to be in control of that. It's just a liability issue.
Whether it's township or county road.
Yeah, because you start letting people put stuff on the roads, that just brings them into a liability issue.
Okay.
And Emily, you said you're starting to send pin drops on tree issues. Is that something you want anybody in the public to do, or just work through it as you're going, or I mean, do you have a method to it, or
it's just it gets added to the list and goes from there. So,
is the list long? I mean, I know actual locations it's long, but I mean, is your list
that it's endless. I mean, when I first started, there was a Mr. Gus had sent me a file. Or dropped off a file folder of where all the deputies have driven. And so there's several pieces of paper in there of where locations are at. So we're just trying to pick and choose our worst spots at intersections and curves to get some sight distance and follow-ups and so on. So.
Where are we out on counties completed?
For?
Gravel.
We started on spring of
23. So we're 1-2 completed for spring of 23 for townships.
Still going to be done by end of calendar year?
Hopefully the subs keep hauling. What direction do we want to go with 176th Road? Do we want to bring an engineer in?
You've looked at it with
we have engineer. Looked at it. Like I said, it was a drive-by look. But, I mean, do we want to bring somebody in and officially look at it?
I spoke with Greg Thomas, a member of the Island Grove Township Board, and asked him if he would be willing to meet with the engineer, whether it be Minnelli or if you're considering whoever, and they are willing to meet with him.
I mean, at this moment, the road condition, from what I can tell, is mainly lack of maintenance.
And that's a township road.
And that is a township road.
I mean, there's every township is elected by the people that live there. I mean, if you look at Liberty or Island Grove compared to Riverside or Lincoln or Midland, there's a definite difference between how the townships maintain their roads. That's decided by the people in those areas. Now, we are going to get to a point at some time when those trees need to be moved. I remember going to a Liberty Township Board meeting, and I was given some specific roads to drive down, and they were tight.
Like there I said, grass hopefully word of mouth, speaking with some landowners when I can get them on the phone, word of mouth, using some landowners, you know, hey, take pride in your land. Hopefully people follow in suit. The word is getting around that we are cracking down on trees. So it hopefully people start doing the right thing.
It's tough. I guess in a really delicate area, you know, they're required to get rid of the trees back to the right-of-way. The townships are required to grade the roads out. And then the other side of the coin is, do we want to bother people on their property? But it's a public road. Generally, people don't push real hard on that. That's been a directional change, it seems like, at the highway department where we're...
And don't get me wrong. I mean, the roads are our first priority, you know, making sure they're maintenance, gravelled, rocked, vice versa, you know. That is the main priority. Trees are going to come in after that.
We have townships, so like Island Grove, that don't put in a request for their allotted material. I don't know if you guys know that or not, but we've had Island Grove, I think, 2 years ago.
21.
They didn't put an allocation request in because they didn't need material. It's like, well, I've been on some of those roads and they appear to need material, but we don't haul it if the township doesn't tell us they want the material. And it doesn't build up. It's not like you can save this year's allocation for next year. This is your allocation.
Some of that, I think, is because the population in that township and the traffic there isn't as great as it is in other townships, and it just doesn't.
You'd think those roads would be stellar, then.
Well, does your yard stay stellar if you're not home? I mean, that's...
But if you need somebody to look at it, I would say have somebody look at it. If something needs done there, irregardless of a project, there's a good point made. If, you know, one truck a day doesn't make any difference on a road, really.
No.
If we have a safety concern where I heard rumors, and I wasn't at the P&Z meeting, there were three meetings that night, but I heard rumor that a school had said those weren't safe for buses. Well, if that's the case, there shouldn't
Why
be buses on
it?
That road. So if there's an issue, I would do whatever you need to do to assist the township.
Yep.
But, I mean, Roger will be the first one to tell me we don't overstep our bounds with the township either.
Well, that's why I said we're going to facilitate that meeting. And that includes the attorneys that drafted the resolution. We'll talk to them, too.
Well, and that's the next step is the resolution. I mean,
again, as you so aptly put it, if that's a safety issue, number one, and I said that night, our children are number one concern. And, you know, I made the mistake of saying we may have to reroute. Well, I came real close to roping around my neck out there on that flagpole. And again, I was just showing that, you know, if that's an option, we got to look at that when our children are a safety issue. So,
and there is a statute that says that if a road is unsafe, as a board, highway superintendent, we can close it down and put the need in there for the repair, per the township doing the work. So if it is an unsafe road, we should be looking at that.
Well, that's why we want to bring the schools in on this, too. I think that's, you know, put all the interested parties, put them together, and let's see if we can come up with some answer.
But majority of the work that needs to be done on the roads is, I think, a typical patrol can do most of the work. It's just they got to put the time in for it.
We're not talking cutting 10 feet off of a pump and filling.
No,
and
there's the roads there. It's just been narrowed in quite a ways. I truly think just some typical maintenance, spending some time on the road will do it. Granted, there are some trees. There is some right-of-way that could be fixed. But like I said, 80% of it, I think, could be fixed just with a typical patrol.
Can I tell the Island Grove Township Board that an engineer will meet with them?
Is that in Island Grove or is that in Liberty Township?
Island Grove.
Well, which I'm talking about.
You're talking in Island Grove.
That'd talking be one, 176, the road with the livestock operation.
I would say it'd be good to have both townships there with it being with the proximity
sure.
there.
That's fine.
Because you're talking about possible thoroughfare through both, correct?
Well, I mean, it'd be a state highway into Liberty Township, and then north of Liberty would be Island Grove.
Okay, I'm shifted on where I thought that was. But, yeah, I mean, if I would think it makes sense for them to be there.
Yeah, I would, and I would like to be there. I mean, I think it's they're willing to meet with an engineer and discuss the road, and that's the professional that makes the determination to what the road needs, and I think that's a good step to take.
Well, I don't know about, because, I mean, we're providing that service, as I understand it. I mean, Minnelli's looked at this, right?
We did, yep.
Okay. And basically, his expertise, I get in a little, you know, we got to be careful there to keep our liabilities separate and distinct. But, again, that's why I say we'll facilitate this. Who comes, I mean, that's fine.
That's up to them, then.
Well, and again, I think it's important you keep it to the people that we need to make a decision. It can't turn into 50 people.
You're talking the Island Grove Township Board. I think Roger said they'd be invited to that just because they'd be the maintenance people on that road.
It's whichever one it is. I
thought it was a Liberty Township.
No, it's Island Grove. Grove. Liberty just stops. The Liberty Township just stops south of Liberty.
Is that Greg?
Greg is in Island Grove.
Okay, I misspoke. Then not a Liberty Township meeting I went to, the Island Grove meeting years ago. But no, if you need to look at it, I guess
I would rather prefer having the engineer look at it with either us as the board and myself, and then when we facilitate a meeting, having him come down and give his recommendations, and then from there, we can be involved with all that.
But irregardless of a project or not, if there is that kind of safety concern, we need to look at
it. And correct. And that's I just didn't look down 176 either. I went around several of the roads, and it's not just 176 that's bad. There's several of the roads that are narrow. So.
And main cause is because of trees.
No, it's not just trees. It's just lack of maintenance.
And there's a misconception, too. I mean, we see some of these county roads that are 60 feet wide. That's not a normal road. And that's been brought up over in your area on 162nd. Once that got brought back to a normal width, people were used to that wide, flat road with the trough in the middle. Once it gets crowned and brought in.
Which is rather amusing because, I mean, a typical blacktop road is 22 to 24 feet wide. A township road, we're pushing 26 feet wide. A typical county road is 28 feet wide.
We've had many a mirror, though, broke off on a...
Oh, I'm not saying yet.
We live in a rural area. You have a lot of people that don't run a truck much. Now we don't have little grain trucks. We have full-size semis. Guys maybe put 5,000 miles a year on, if that. They're not used to the size of some of these vehicles. We've got huge agricultural equipment now. Mm-hmm. It's just things can be tight. Sometimes slowing down a little goes a long ways. Drive safely. Anything else for Roden Bridge?
I just want to be clear. You're talking about having a meeting with an engineer and then have him return, meet at the site, and then have him return to give his, for another meeting to give his analogy.
I don't think so. I think they were just
going
to
set up.
That's
what I'd like to see.
To facilitate a meeting.
We're going to do a facilitated meeting with the township and everyone. I think I'd like to have the engineer there.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that part. But is there... You were talking about facilitating a meeting between the county, the township, and the engineer.
What I would like to see would be me and the engineer.
And the schools, I'm sorry.
And any one of you board members, if you wanted to be there, to go over that road. And then at another date, do a meeting with the engineer and any of the townships, landowners, so on and so forth.
With the same
yes.
people.
Yes.
Being invited. So that means?
Two.
What are your thoughts on meeting with other townships like that? Or
we can. I mean, some of that could be done at a township meeting at the first.
I was just
going
to say that might be something to think about in the future for a township association meeting where if there is a concern.
And it might
be something they can't figure out.
It might be something to where roads are going to have to be brought up to minimum standards before gravel is delivered for allotments.
That's a whole other policy
that
issue.
It's not really a policy change. I mean, it's something that's in state statute where the roads have got to be up to a minimum maintenance or minimum standards. So if they're, granted within reason, you know, if they're 24 feet wide and they're not 26 feet, I mean, but if they're 17 feet wide, there's a big difference.
I just have a question. How far do we push that to? I mean, we're supervisors for a reason. There's townships for a reason.
However far we want to push it.
We're not commissioners.
I mean, within reason.
I'm just saying, that's why we have the townships, too.
That's where we really walk it.
Correct, but I mean, I'm going to assume it's going to be in their powers and duties as a township, as road maintenance.
We really have, I mean, just like planning and zoning, where we try to leave them to their means and methods. I know they don't always agree with us, and vice versa. Each of the townships is elected locally there too, so we really try to stay out of.
Correct, but they still have duties that they've got to follow through. So we're held to a higher standard. They should be held to some of the higher standard too.
It's just a fine line.
We don't want to overstep
our bounds on the locally elected. They're locally elected officials too in their areas.
Well, I think that's if you focus on safety, then all the territorial things are going to take a back seat. Because some of it's going to come down to money. And I know the other night, township said that. So, again, if you're prioritizing that with a bus route, there's no other way to do it. That brings it to a head, so to speak. And hopefully everybody will keep that in mind when we sit down with our meeting.
Yep.
So the meeting's going to be scheduled.
That's their plan. No idea when, though.
No. I'm going to sit down with Mr. Conkey.
Lewiston and...
And we'll send out a notice. And, you know, because if...
Southern and Lewiston, those are the two school districts involved.
Those are the two that expressed the concerns, yeah. I think that's right. That's what I was told.
That's the way I understand it.
So, and again, I think they can at least have a representative there. That's all we're asking is they bring somebody that's got, can speak for them. I think the township board is critical in the schools for information because, again, some of this comes back to them, too. Did Mark give us a statement or anything? Okay.
Yep, and then Lisa had asked for a statement for when Mark and I went down there to drive that section of road.
Okay.
I typed one up, and then I called him. He was actually out of state watching the hurricane. So several phone calls and a couple emails to verify that his statement was correct from what I had typed. So. Yeah.
Okay. If you get a chance, just shoot me a copy of that, please.
Yeah. Yeah,
because we may not need to bring him down either if he's already got an opinion.
Yeah.
Time's money.
That's right. Thank you very much.
Where are we at with the annexation determination on Virginia as far as the road, 162nd road? You know what I'm talking
176
about?
Right now. I haven't looked at that.
Okay, yeah, because we've talked about that, to whether 162nd is annexed into Virginia or not, and we're waiting for the results of that.
Okay.
So I'm just asking.
Yeah.
Okay.
You'll never run out of business with us, Roger. Anything else for Road and Bridge? If not, I would ask for a motion to approve or disapprove the appointment of Nate Claybaugh, Grant Jones, and David Norton for a 6-year term on the Board of Trustees of the Hospital Authority No. 1, term commencing October 1st, 2023, and terminating September 30th, 2020-20-29.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Swavely. Any discussion on these three? If not, please vote. 7 in favor, motion carries. We will skip the next item. Will she be here?
She's not here today.
In the next meeting, possibly? Or?
She would just have, she asked, because her last day is Friday, that somebody would just bring it over.
Well, I guess we don't have an action item on that, but Shirley Peterson's retiring over at the Veterans Office. We have a plaque here to present to her. Shirley's been kind of a staple over there for years. I don't know how many years she has been there. But we wish her well in retirement. From December 29th, 2014 to September 8th. She's moved us into Scott, helped him get established. I know she's been a friendly face for many a veteran that's come through the office and other employees here at the courthouse and the county, as well as other residents. So we will bring this plaque over to her and wish her well and wish her good luck. Up next, approve or disapprove resolution number 22-14 to install stop signs at southwest corner of section 8. 23-14. To install stop signs at southwest corner of section 8 and southwest corner of intersection located at the northeast corner of section 18, Township 3 North, Range 5 East, Lincoln Township. We have a recommendation from the engineer on this. Do you want to give us a rundown on that, or Mark?
It was requested from a Lincoln Township board member to look at that intersection. They had a nasty accident out there with road construction on Highway 136. A lot of people are cutting across there, so he asked for temporary stop signs. I had Mr. Minnelli look at it. I sent him pictures, a lot of correspondence over email. He was able to reply back that we can install stop signs there. They can be used as permanent if that landowner were to clear out some of the issues with the trees. And the trees are not overhanging on the road. They're just far enough back and giving some sight distance towards the south that those stop signs could be removed at a later date if need be.
Is that something you'd monitor for later?
We can, yes.
Mr. Lytle?
So the plan is temporary then, is that what I'm hearing?
It could be temporary, yes. It just depends on the sight distance going towards the south.
So the plan is that they're going to be temporary. Is that what I heard?
The plan is that they are set up as permanent. If the landowner was to remove those trees, then yes, they would be removed.
That might be one to bump to the very top of the tree list then?
Like I said, the trees are not in the right-of-way. They're just around that intersection to where it gives a sight.
They're not in the right.
They're not in the right of way. No, they're far enough back. They just give a sight issue looking towards the south at that intersection.
That was my question.
This, I mean, that's Terry's district over there, but I guess that I know that corner fairly well, and it's not been an issue for a lot of years. I understand with road construction that it might be an issue now because you got people that don't know the intersection and whatever else, but I can't see that that's necessary
again,
for permanent
stop signs.
There
again, it could be something that could get changed if a little bit of cleanup was done, which probably knowing the person and the people on the board, it might get done sooner than later.
Is that on the Ellis Road?
No.
No.
Okay. I've looked it up on the township map.
A mile north and 1 mile west.
So from 136, it's a mile north, but mile west of the Ellis Road. Okay. Because the Ellis Road all has stop signs on it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't seem like a high-traffic corner there.
Well, we had our Christmas bonus construction on 136. It's a mile west.
If we're looking at a temporary sign instead of a permanent sign, is it really necessary to have a resolution? I mean, if it's construction-based.
He said the intention is permanent with potential removal, though, is what I heard.
Whose district is this in? I'm not familiar. Terry's. I'm not familiar with
that. Oh, it is hers? Yeah. My bad, Terry.
I stopped at Ellis.
At Ellis, it's north. Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with the corner, so.
Well, it's where we had to.
Did you stop at Lilac?
Party. That road where we had to party.
Did you stop at Lilac?
I 136.
What party?
36. We're at Lilac going west. Yeah. You're 1 mile north of 36.
Do we have a forum?
Oh, yeah.
I think.
Mile east of her.
Could be.
I wasn't there.
I closed in there. Yeah.
Oh,
there is going north.
I will say, consistently, Minnelli goes on board with us where the signs are not used frivolously just because we don't want to end up with that everywhere. I also hear what Gary's saying, though, if this is because of construction, maybe stay on that. It's not the intention to put up traffic control devices at every corner. It's self-responsibility.
Lisa does make a valid point that I kind of stand corrected with the venue there, as Dave brought up, to the north. There probably is added traffic there that hasn't been in the past.
Probably more folks from town, too, heading out there.
A lot of those people that go there aren't familiar with any of the roads.
Yeah. Right.
So you're talking about probably through the weekend 750 people, you know, on a big weekend, on a two-day weekend that aren't familiar. So.
And rather than taking the blacktop and then going west that mile, the GPS probably takes them down 136 and then straight across.
So I would encourage them to take the blacktop and then go over.
Right, exactly. But
Google Maps does not.
Yep. So makes more sense now.
Is this something where, because since this is a permanent decision versus a temporary resolution, is this something where we could table for 2 weeks and I can drive out and look at it?
We can do whatever you want.
Fine. Yeah. This seems permanent. We're talking temporary.
I'm going to tattle on myself here. It's the first stop sign I've ever had to put up. The stop signs are up. I'm downright being honest. I already have them up. Digger's Cotline called. I talked to Manili after this, and he's like, what did you just do? So they are up, but, I mean, if we have to tear them down, we will take them down.
That's just for point of order, that would be a really bad idea to ever do again.
Correct. That's after I talked to Mr. Manili, I gave me the 1-2 on it. So, but just being honest.
Appreciate your honesty, but yeah, that's not a good idea.
I'd like to table it for 2 weeks.
Roger, do we need to officially table it? Do we need a motion and a second to table for 2 weeks?
You can pull it off the agenda. You can add temporary to it, leave the signs up for 2 weeks, and then deal with it. I mean, that's the other thing you need to consider here is there's stop signs up there, regardless of how they got there. And so you're going to take them down tonight and put them back up in 2 weeks? I was just saying, at some point, it gets confusing for the traveling public.
Terry,
to me it makes more sense to, beans are up, leave them up temporary on this resolution. And I'd personally like to look at it myself, I guess.
What's the process we need to do to make them temporary, Roger, right now?
Just add temporary to that.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
I have a motion by Lytle, second by Haxby, to approve Resolution 2314 to install temporary stop signs at Southwest Corner.
Do we want to put an end date on that?
Not at this time.
Okay.
What? When's the construction project.
As soon as they're done.
So can we...
There's no timeline.
Like, can we put on there to, look at it again when construction project is finished?
Why don't we just leave it open as temporary? You're gonna want to look at it,
yeah,
and then come back with the idea of making them permanent or not, right?
Sure.
So we'll have that discussion.
Just ask Don to put it like on a four-week kick or a two-week right. kick, whatever you want. It's a tickler for her to right. check with
yeah,
Mr.
just put it on
and see
an
if he wants to put it on.
Stop signs don't always stop people either.
No,
right.
No, they don't.
Motion by Lytle, second by Haxby, to approve this resolution as temporary with review approximately every 30 days. Any other discussion on this? If not, please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Don't take those down yet.
Like I said, I'm an honest person. There's no reason to hide something. So
it's done is done.
It is done. And like I said, I already got my lashings from Mr. Minnelli. So.
Government's the only place you get in trouble for being too efficient. Anything else for the good of the order? Nothing?
Mr. Schuler said something earlier that I guess maybe it's something that I've forgotten. I'm getting forgetful in my old age here. What are we annexing with Virginia, or what? I guess I missed something. What were we talking about?
There? He had questioned Roger to make sure that first 3/4 of a mile approximately belonged to the village of Virginia and not the county on 162nd Road. Generally, when a village annexes a piece of ground, village, town, mm-hmm. they annex the entire road, not just a portion. I guess I'd use an example, 33rd Road over by Goldcrest Cemetery, I think is what it is. When Beatrice annexed that property where the school is being built now years ago, when they annexed that went from what would have been half county or half city, that became a city street then.
Correct.
Which, looking back, I think was a great idea from the county perspective for the city to take that piece of road.
So you're trying to give Virginia that full mile.
They're trying.
Well, I'm just asking if they already have it by state statute.
Okay.
Sure.
Because state statute says if it's adjoining a village, it is automatically annexed into that village. That come to light when we were discussing the hard surfacing of the road on the west side of Adams. And then so I asked about Virginia, and Roger was going to do a little research on it and see if that was... But what I read...
When you said annexing, I guess it threw me off.
It's automatically annexed is what the thought is. So it wasn't that they were... trying to annex it in is just to confirm,
can we do it the 20th?
Is it annexed or is it not?
Just clarifying who owns what. Gotcha.
Yes.
All right. On board.
I think I might be gone.
We have to have a special meeting.
We're going to have a special meeting for a budget hearing. Don has asked about the 14th.
No.
About what day?
September 14th for
that's
a special budget.
Southeast District meeting.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
So then can we do a special hearing on the
18th? On the
18th. Or
that would
afterwards.
Give a little bit more time. Will you be here?
That's a board meeting day, but that's
right. I have a joint public hearing that evening.
I'm going to be gone that day.
Sure.
I'm gone that week.
We will preliminarily anticipate special budget hearing on the morning of the 18th.
We'll look at the
meeting morning, right?
We have to have a public hearing, and then we have to pass it at a different time. So we can't do them on a board meeting.
We could
pass it before the board meeting.
We could pass that at a board meeting.
You would have to go out of that public hearing, and then we have a board meeting after that.
So. Board meeting the 20th.
Well, we can do it then, if you want to do it that way, either way. So.
But preliminarily, budget hearing, the 18th. We haven't put it on there, and we probably should have. If there's anything you guys want to talk about on the budget, talk to Don or I. We've got a preliminary budget, but it's going to be fantastic.
He's making promises.
But if there's nothing else at this time, we will adjourn at 10:12.
What time is the budget hearing?